listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare or simply interested in how God is working through Christ's followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad that you're here. On today's episode, we're joined by two highly committed leaders from the Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ Ministry. Dr. Sarah Rockola, an internist and clinic medical director at the Providence Medical Group in Newburgh, Oregon, specializes in geriatric care and substance use disorders. Joining her is Dr. Lisa Gezzi, a geriatric dentist with 25 years of experience, who also holds a PhD in epidemiology and teaches at the University of Michigan. Both women have answered God's call to faithfully serve and lead others in this vital ministry, using their gifts to further God's work. For those who are new to CMDA Matters, Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ, or WPDC, is an outreach ministry of CMDA that provides resources to Christian physicians and dentists who are women, obviously, helping them integrate their personal, professional, and spiritual lives. In today's episode, we're going to dive into how Drs. Rockola and Gezzi have been shaped by and are investing in this 30-plus-year-old ministry. They're going to explain how they incorporate faith into their work. CMDA, friends, matters. And one good reason it matters is because women healthcare professionals who desire to please God with every facet of their lives matter. Let's listen in. Let's talk about WPDC. And it got that name before my time at CMDA, probably 12, 13 years ago or so. It went from Women in Medicine and Dentistry to Women Physicians in Christ. And then they realized we better have the D for your sake. If for no one else, at least, it was for your sake that the D got added. So how has this ministry for women impacted your life? At what stage did you get involved in WPDC? Sarah, let's start with you, since you're the chair of the commission.
Yeah. So I had taken a break from attending our annual conferences as I was raising my children, and they were too little to leave too many times during the year, and came back as an attendee when we were in Big Sky, Montana, and really was reminded that these women understood all of the challenges I was facing in the various circles of life. And I reached out to Holly Austin, who was chairing the commission at the time, and we had a conversation and then was appointed in the following cycle when we were in Vermont as a commission member. I have learned a lot about leadership and also the process of organizing women from all different corners of the U.S. to try to get work done, and have enjoyed learning that through serving on the commission and then, of course, becoming the chair last fall.
Lisa, your story?
So yeah, as I mentioned, I got involved right after my residency early in my career. And then, as Alan told me, you know, you're going to help me out and then you're going to disappear once your kids show up. And so I did. I took my 15-year hiatus and then came back in 2020, and that was when Patty Francis was asking, why are there no dentists in WPC? And I said, well, I'm not sure we realized we were still able to be part of that group. And so although they stated that dentists are physicians of the oral cavity, it was like, well, actually, we're all doctors, but we're physicians and dentists. And so it does actually make a difference, that semantic. And so we added the D, and I came back to help to recruit more dentists, and actually ended up doing a lot of recruiting of dental students as well.
I met one of those last year when I interviewed Dr. Kara Brown. and Dr. Connie Hahn. There was a dental student who's, I don't know if she's on the council, but very excited, tons of energy. And I'm sure that students always bring a great deal of energy to our gathering. So it's probably for your annual meeting too. Now, speaking of the annual meeting, I don't want to assume, what's your favorite part of ministry within WPDC, whether before you came on the council or since then or leadership positions? Sarah, what is your favorite part?
It absolutely is the annual conference. There is nothing like coming together as a group and seeing women. There are women we are friends with, have been friends with for a decade, but we only see them and connect with them during that conference. So it's like a great reunion.
Elisa, for you?
You know, to me, CMDA and WPDC is just a glimpse of heaven. It's 30 years of friendships that I can't remember when and where I've seen people, and it all just becomes one big banquet to me. But just the relationships that are in all of those things, in leadership meetings, in conferences, in other gatherings. I do a lot of Zoom. I have a lot of Zoom meetings that I do with even young grads, young moms. And so, again, I never can remember, have I met you in person? It's all just heavenly.
If you're there at the beginning of the conference, as we're getting going on Thursday afternoon and evening, it is tremendous to just step back and watch the reunions that are happening, hugs and tears, and women that have been in relationship over Zoom or over phone or over text, praying for one another for months. And sometimes they're meeting for the first time in person. Mm-hmm. And I think that Dr. Gezi's description of heaven is an apt one.
Both of you ladies, Lisa, you've served on the board, and I've heard you mention some other ministries of CMDA. So tell our listeners what else about CMDA in which you've taken a deep dive. You both got involved as students, and so certainly local ministry, campus ministry impacted your lives significantly. But, I mean, there are over 40 ministries, WPDC being one of the big ones. But what other ministries have you had a chance to work with?
Yeah, so earlier I mentioned being coached by Dr. Ann Sen, and I think watching the coaching ministry take hold and grow. I participated in some of the foundation's training that they've done as pre-conference sessions for us with WPDC. I think that that ministry has changed how many of us think about how we interact with our colleagues and friends, how we help people. It's helped us be self-reflective about how we interact with patients. It's been a great addition to all of the ministries that CMDA is involved in.
And in that coaching, now, Lisa and I are actually right now in a coaching course, mentoring with a coach approach. In fact, we had a little three-minute session, a little breakout session in which the head, Dr. Darlin Falk, who's mm-hmm. also in WPDC, said, well, that was kind of intentional. I put you and Elisa there together, and we got to talk and listen and reflect. So we're both a part of that coaching ministry too. And have you found that it kind of turns everything upside down because you're supposed to do less than 20% of the talking when you're a coach?
Absolutely. And I think it takes the pressure off. Anne always talks about how we tend to want to be fixers. And being relieved of the pressure to try to fix someone else's problem or make it all okay allows you to really focus on what the Lord is doing in the heart and mind of another believer. Mm-hmm. And it's almost fun to sit back and just watch him do his work.
What is the acrostic that we learned, Elisa? Wait, WAIT. Why am I talking?
Exactly.
It doesn't fit well with a surgeon. I've got a script, you know, and oh, wait a second. Don't go off script. Don't go off script. Just answer the question. But that's what I found myself turned upside down mm-hmm. in the whole coach approach. Elisa, talk to us. Obviously, mentoring is important, but what else? What other ministries within CMDA?
As I mentioned, I came back in 2020. And that would be COVID time. And so all of us were looking for things to do. So there was a coaching class happening. So one of the first things I did was get involved in doing 501 and 503. And then when I started to work at WPDC, again, one thing you learn when you start to do things with CMDA is that you have an idea of what God wants you to do. And then he has you where he wants you, but he's actually got you to do something different. And he's going to tell you, but he's not going to tell you right away. And he's going to slowly reveal that to you. So I thought I was coming to recruit more people my age, kind of over 50, 40, 50s, to be mentors for the younger new generation. And instead, God handed me a whole bunch of dental students, which again was not what I wanted. I'm a mother of a bunch of 20-year-olds, and I thought that I would end up being seen as their mother, but was completely wrong on that aspect, and instead have found a whole bunch of friends. And so I have been involved with both since started doing coaching and then have moved into the new mentoring commission as well that just started.
So both of you have such busy lives, and Elisa, you interact with a lot of students, a lot of dental students, and I know there are a ton of people, as I've traveled around and talked a little bit about mentoring with various audiences and find that actually we do a lot of talking about mentoring, but when push comes to shove, not a whole lot of people are actually right now involved in any younger individual, whether that's a younger graduate in their specialty or a resident, fellow student, not really all that involved. Somehow you have found, you've got kids age 26, somebody in medical school down to age 11. So how do you find time to fit in mentoring of students or residents?
I think it's following the doors that God opens. And also, if you feel like you aren't really equipped to be a mentor, then that would be a positive indication that maybe you should be mentoring. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know many people, well, some people that do it just naturally and are great and wonderful, and we all know those and really think they're wonderful people. And then there's the rest of us, I'd say the majority of the people in CMDA, who mm-hmm. don't feel equipped. And oftentimes we're not. God has really taken me on a journey over the last 5 years to teach me a lot about that. And so, again, if you're coaching, if you're mentoring, one of the important things is to be malleable and to know that, realize God is going to actually teach you way more than you're teaching them. Again, that sounds just so cliche, but it is very true. And a warning that He is going to challenge you through what your students say. A lot of them have mothers my age and have concerns about what their mothers did, which is exactly what I did with my kids. And so you're going to have to, if you're really honest and going to work through what God is going to give you to work through, you really need to be open to whatever He's going to bring at you. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful things to address and grow in. And so if you want to grow, it's the work for you. And if you want to be lost, it's okay to be lost.
I'm so glad that you talked about the bidirectional nature of most mentoring and discipleship relationships, because that's been my experience as well, is that young people, no matter what stage they are, have a lot to introduce me to. And I'm just like, that is so cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know I could do that with whatever, whether it's technology or whether it's relationships or social media, whatever. I've learned a whole lot from my relationships over the last 7 or 8 years.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Sarah, I'm going to just kind of segue. Young people that you either mentored or discipled or that you hang out with at WPDC, what encourages you about what you see about the young generation of trainees coming through their training, whether in dental, medical, or other healthcare profession?
I think one of the things that I see in the ladies coming up behind me and my generation is that they are doing different things. They do not have to fight quite as hard for a seat at the table in medicine. And so there's no limit to where the Lord is leading them in their both in their clinical practice, but also just how eager they are for missions, how passionate they are to do scientific research or community practice in underserved communities. They're just so varied, and there's so many different things going on. Some of them are starting families young. We are blessed that now in the medical community that is easier to do than our foremothers in terms of having a family, having kids. And so just seeing the diversity of God's kingdom in that generation and all the ways in which he's working is really encouraging to me.
So what plans are coming in 2025 that listeners out there, and even if they're men who have wives or others in their lives who are women in medicine, dentistry, and other healthcare professions, that they should know about what's coming?
I am very excited. Our commission is in a process of preparing for growth within WPDC. We've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to strengthen our processes and our governance and understanding our financial situation better, because there are so many new ideas coming up, bubbling up, that we are asking the Lord if this is something that we need to be moving into. Anything from virtual ministries to raising up more local groups. We've talked about regional mini conferences, podcasts, curriculum, and so forth. So that's very exciting. This year on the calendar, our annual conference is going to be September 4 through 7 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we'd invite women to mark their calendars for that and stay tuned for more information about registration any day now. And then we also have an Italy tour coming up next year with CMDA in May 17th through the 29th, 2026. That tour is being designed specifically for the women of WPDC and their families. So look forward to that.
Stay tuned.
Yes, exactly.
Great. Authentic Christ followers whose ultimate desire, like I believe the three of us at this table, is to hear those seven words that mean it's been worth it all, that you've arrived. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So for Christ followers today in the U.S. healthcare space, what are the greatest challenges that you're facing? You know, I haven't been in the patient care space in the U.S. for like a decade. So how have things changed over the last decade for you to honor Christ with your practice and do good patient care at the same time?
I think of two main areas. The first is community. Medicine has moved quickly in the last three decades and changed a lot in the patient care space. And the demands of practice and the sort of dissolution of the hospital-based community of practice has created a lot more isolation for physicians. And I find even my Christian brothers and sisters not recognizing the importance of a Christian community in medicine to support them. There's a lot of unreached Christian healthcare professionals who don't know about CMDA or have not looked into it enough to realize that it's something for them. And that community is so important when we are facing challenges to our ethics, challenges to how we balance our work and family obligations and wanting to set limits on our time. And I think that that has eroded people's spirit and their energy and their ability to sustain their practice and their career. So that's one. I think the other major change that I've seen in my practice life has been the ongoing corporatization of medicine. I work for a Catholic health organization that began with a mission to love and serve like Jesus. Our major hospital in my area still has that quote that the love of Christ compels us on the wall. Mm-hmm. And I used to look at that during residency, and it would remind me of what my task for the day was. But unfortunately, the company has changed over the years, and you know, more and more medicine is being run like a business than a ministry. And I think that's changing how physicians are seen, how our time is valued, the amount of time we get with patients in these corporate structures of practice. And I worry that trainees are seeing a different landscape of what medicine is about because of that influence.
And so you have a role, and as do those listening, our members, constituents, to somehow influence and push back on that corporatization. And because I've heard this testimony over and over again. I also want to do a follow-up. How would you respond to a comment that I hear quite frequently? I find my community at church. Why do I need this community within CMDA? How would you respond to that?
I would say a couple of things. One, I think, and this actually comes out of a conversation that we were having with the advocacy team yesterday, and that is, I think there's still a lot of work to be done in how we translate what we are learning in church from our pastors and elders, and how we are putting that knowledge, that wisdom into practice Monday through Friday. And CMDA acts as a translation agent in that regard.
Mm. I've never heard that before. That's good.
The second thing I would say is that our position in the workplace as Christian physicians, one is, as we all know, continuously under fire, but two, we are his ambassadors everywhere we go. And I think sometimes it's easier than we realize to context switch, to do one thing on Sunday with our church people and then to do something else. And I've been convicted in the probably thousands of ways that is impacting me. You know, being called up short by the Holy Spirit as I walk down the hallway to see maybe a patient that patient that you see in your schedule that you just, you know, take a deep exhale over. And the Lord chastening me and saying, wait a second, what is your role here today? And so I think that, again, CMDA and the community here helps teach us in practical ways how the Lord would have us behave and minister in those places. And as you have shared on this podcast many times, we have lots of curriculum to do just that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being thoughtful.
As I mentioned, I meet monthly with young moms and recent grads. And we do that on Zoom. And it's a wonderful place where we have conversations that one cannot have with people in a church environment. Actually, a lot of our conversations are about staffing and just the things that they're dealing with in their day-to-day encounters in the practice, that really to find people who can understand what is going on and then to discuss challenging matters from a Christian perspective is what's critical.
Okay, thank you. Elisa, you're on this other commission, which is a mentoring with discipleship commission. We have an academy that's in its first year, and with first graduates, the fellows coming out at our national convention coming up. So what do you see for the future of this academy? What are you hoping will happen?
Yeah, it's been an honor to be part of something developing and to try to spend a lot of time going, God, what are you doing? What are you teaching us? Where do you want us to go? And what I hear him saying is, he does want CMD members to feel called to be mentoring and to not feel that it's something that is for a few to do. But if you feel called, then what is the next step? That you need training? Because there is a lot to learn about the students. Again, I appreciate my 20-year-olds who are very candid with me in my family, and they have taught me what do people their age need? And what I have found within CMDA, I've become a bit of a generational translator. Because we need those of us who are over 50 to understand this new generation, and it's not going to happen unless you immerse yourself in them at that. Or we also have discussions about what are really the topics that they're struggling with, and what are their perspectives on that.
I'm very excited for us to celebrate the very first class, the first fellows coming up, and I want to encourage our listeners. You can go online, cmdamentor.org. or our main webpage, and just search for mentoring and you'll come to those resources. I think the application is there for those who are interested, and we'd love to be challenged and stretched in terms of our number of guides who are walking through with the fellows through this training. So thank you for your service, and our chair, Dr. Francis Nuthalapati, who's leading that commission as well. So you're doing double duty on two different commissions. So ladies, I want to thank you both for joining us today on CMDA Matters and for giving us just a small little bit of a look into our main women's ministry at CMDA, which, as we've said a couple, three times, is going to just keep growing because of the demographics within medicine and dentistry. God bless you both as you continue to work on bridges here at our national ministry and then go back home and give a report to your commission.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
I really hope that today's conversation with Dr. Sarah Rockola and Dr. Elisa Gezi has left you inspired. Their dedication to their faith and their patients and their leadership within WPDC offers a powerful example of living out God's calling, both in healthcare and in life. If you'd like to learn more about WPDC or explore ways to get involved in this impactful ministry, whether through prayer or by planning to attend their annual meeting, just visit cmda.org/WPDC. At that site, you'll find stories, resources, as well as opportunities specifically for women to flourish in Christ-centered healthcare and in community. Another incredible opportunity to connect is at this year's CMDA National Convention. It's happening May 1st through the 4th in St. Charles, Missouri, just outside St. Louis. Over 1,000 Christian healthcare professionals with their families and spouses and friends will come together to enjoy heartfelt community, as well as to sharpen their understanding of cultural challenges and hear great biblical truth. With an outstanding lineup of speakers, this is an event you won't want to miss. You can find out more and register today by going to natcon.cmda.org. I want to ask you to get ready because we're going to have an exciting free live stream event at CMDA on March 18th. That's a Tuesday evening. If you're nearing retirement or already retired, this is an opportunity that I don't think you're going to want to miss. Join Dr. Steve Sartori, the founder of our CMDA coaching ministry, together with our Vice President of Missions and Member Care, Pastor Bert Jones. They're going to join me for an engaging panel discussion on transitioning from a healthcare career into a fulfilling retirement. Dr. Sartori will share with us that while there are several commonalities among retirement journeys, everyone is unique. Go figure, God made us different. And we are best served by a customized individual retirement plan. You can learn more, and of course, you can register. Go to cmda.org/retirement. Next week, we're going to be joined by Dr. Peter Cole from the organization Scalpel at the Cross. This organization is a Christian nonprofit orthopedic foundation serving near the headwaters of the Amazon River and the people of Pucallpa, Peru. Be sure to tune in for another remarkable conversation on how the Lord gave Dr. Cole and his wife the desires of their hearts as they delighted in him and followed his clear direction.
At CMDA, we are committed to bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what matters to CMDA, friends, and CMDA matters. May you feel the Lord's presence this week as He is with you and for you and empowering you to do His good work, which He prepared in advance for you to do, Paul tells us. We'll see you next time, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.